go ahead and hit record.
More bears. I think I can make that happen.
Bear, please stop!
Please refrain from shooting lasers onto the field.
A little bit cheeky with it.
Who else is number 12? Not Grant Furking, because he was number 6. Who else was number 12?
Frank Furkin.
Nick Florence was 11. That's close. Jarrett Stidham was 17 also. I think he was 17, maybe.
Should have I know. I'm letting you go as far as you need to go.
Okay, listener, I'm trying to figure out if we have any quarterbacks named number 12 that played here longer than 3 years ago. So that's kind of where we're at.
I wish there was like an online database. Like maybe if you connected a bunch of computers together.
How would I query that? Every Baylor football quarterback? How do you suggest I query that?
Dude, I'll do it right now. chat.openai.com.
But that's not reliable.
List every Baylor University quarterback.
Yeah, tell me what it says.
Their jersey number.
Here, we're going to go to Baylor football.
Seth Russell was 17. What? Yeah, I don't know what you're asking.
I feel like I articulated it very clearly, Matt. I'm trying to think of quarterbacks with the number 12. That played here
Charlie Brewer.
Super recently. But you missed the whole qualifier, Matt. Not super recently. I'm thinking backwards. You know?
Did any other quarterbacks wear jersey?
I don't think that the internet works the way 12. You think it do.
It absolutely does.
Oh, yeah. Tell me what ChatGPT says.
It's looking into it. It said hold your Solomon. Horses, I believe. Nope. The only one.
I see. That's not true. Because let me look.
The internet said it was true. This is between two bears where we believe everything the internet tells us is true. I'm Matt. That's Evan. We got producer Deontay behind the scenes. No, wait. The cool people say it on the ones and twos.
Uh-huh. DJ,
on the ones and twos.
I just need to direct everyone's eyes to the group chat just very briefly. Matt, I just need you some critical information.
Very chill. Okay, fine. Yes, see? You're right. Okay. Yeah,
I know I'm right.
Anous Solomon.
Anous number start. 12. What a
goodness let's gracious. Just,
you want to relive the career of Anous Solomon briefly with me?
Just spend 45 minutes on that instead.
That despite everything, having Anous Solomon was gonna keep things fine. And he laid two of the largest eggs I think I've ever seen.
I don't want to be too critical because he might have been uber concussed at all times.
Yeah, well, that's the Matt Rule special. That's baked in. Sorry, brother. Yeah. You should have done your research.
Yeah. Evan, do you want to talk about what happened over the weekend for better and for worse?
Both? Sure. Let's start at the beginning. What do you say?
Let's get the bad stuff out of the way.
Okay.
Let's get the bad stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
After
what happened, you got
what
it.
Happened.
You got it.
You go.
I was going to say what happened is what happens to most teams. You know how you're going to lose a few weeks before it happens, and then you just got to sit there and you got to sit with it while it happens, and you got to pretend to be surprised. It's the fucking worst.
I didn't think we would lose that way to Clemson. You know that the opening round game, Baylor shoots the absolute lights out. And I did think to myself for a second, we're hot at the right time. Correct. I mean, yes, correct. We're getting hot at the right time.
It was fun.
The shooting is here. That's what we needed to carry us through tough games. And then you run into an extremely high floor but low ceiling team in Clemson that never does anything spectacularly. But they never really mess up.
They didn't mess up one time.
We forced some errors on them, but it was a frustrating. What do you think led to the loss of Baylor men's basketball to Clemson?
Sure, I'll tell you.
In the round of 32.
I feel like 32. We've just we We're not the same. We're watching a new product with the same eyes, right? Like we're now a team that is just going to have a bunch of really young, really, really talented people on it. And that's something that's new for us. We don't really have a lot of reps being disappointed in that yet. And I think this is just part of it. You know, I feel like with the way Scott Drew coached for the first 20 or so years, it was like, okay, we're going to Voltron up every 4 years or so, every 3 years. And we're going to roll the dice in the tournament. And that's what we did. And it ended up working after 20 years. But now we're doing what the other top five teams in the country do every year. They get really young five stars and they tell them to go get buckets. And when they don't get them, it looks pretty much exactly like this. That's how I really feel, Matt.
When they do, it looks great.
When they do, it's great. But, you know, we hardly knew these kids. You know,
on the court during that Clemson game, what do you think led, like, what do you think caused the loss?
They didn't play no goddamn defense. It's the same thing, I guess that's what I was saying. I was like, I knew before the under 16, I was like, okay, something stinks here. Something's going on today. And it looks too familiar. That's how I felt.
I tend to disagree a little bit. I want to make sure I'm not just ignoring the statistics here. Chase Hunter scored 20 for Clemson.
Redundant-ass
name. He wasn't particularly efficient. He wasn't the most efficient player on their team. And there was a player with 13 and two players with 11. I personally, from a defensive standpoint, was very impressed with what we were able to do with PJ Hall, mainly by keeping him off the floor. Could tell the game plan was to go at him, and that is exactly what we did. It was perfect. The issue here, in my opinion, was
make no shots.
Was shooting. I think that was my problem.
We died by the three.
I was actually quite pleased with how Baylor played in every other facet of the game. Baylor got really good shots, I thought. Baylor moved the ball well. Baylor did play pretty good defense up until, you know, it was frantic time, at which point, you know, it is what it is. But when you have Ray J. Dennis going 2 for 10, Jalen Bridges, how many three-pointers do you think he took?
Today, this last game, probably like 13. Yeah,
he took two.
Two? Let's see. Now we're figuring this out. We're peeling the layers back.
Jacoby Walter went 3 for 9. That's not terrible just from a math standpoint. But yeah. But then you have Jaden Nunn went 1 for 5. I'm sorry. Jaden Nunn went 0 for 3. It's just, you know, bad shooting night. And that was always what we thought would nip us in the butt. And it's what kills a lot of teams in March. If you're an offensive heavy team, one bad shooting night can kill you.
I feel like Eves Missy was more hurt than they were telling us, which, you know, I don't know how much the equation had changed, but I felt like 2 weeks ago, I would have thought that he would get twice as many touches as he got this last weekend.
He shot the ball 4 times. Got to the line once. There's probably something to that.
Also, the Langston Love of it all. I don't know. I feel like
that was that was it for me.
I don't know how. Obviously, we won fewer games than I thought we would, but I don't know how beat up I was. Just because I don't know. I feel like winning as many games as we did in this conference and a tournament game. Like, I don't know. I never want to be someone who that's not enough for. You know, correct. In third place the in this season, league. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like we did okay.
Absolutely. The season in a whole, in context of the other seasons of Baylor basketball that I've been alive and, you know, paying attention to.
Fucking good-ass team this year, man.
Very successful season. Very successful season. When you look at it related to my personal expectations or the expectations of the fan base in general, there were a lot of people that were mad, which I'm not sure I understood the mad part.
It started to feel more like embarrassment. That's how everyone's starting to read. Everyone just talking like someone who's embarrassed. And I feel like that's a weird emotion.
I think so too. Now, I felt sad after the game, right? Well, here we are talking about our feelings, but
look at that.
Hey, I mean, it's real. What I'm leading up to is I was texting with our buddy David Fankhauser.
Well, that one?
And he said that this game, this loss to Clemson, hurt more than the loss, what was it, 2 years ago to UNC?
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
That one. Yes, I was very frustrated because of the massive comeback that Baylor was able to make.
That's probably the most I've screamed in a non-football game
ever. It was fantastic basketball game. Like, if you removed the Baylor of it all, fantastic basketball game.
It really was.
This game was uglier, but it also felt like Baylor lost it. I'm not trying to take away from this Clemson team, but
Baylor's the more talented
team.
But feel like people are talking about us pooping in our pants more than they are them cooking. And, you know, prove me wrong.
Nobody's excited. Clemson is by no means like a Cinderella or a sleeper.
No.
It was, I think a lot of people would have been more excited for a Baylor-Arizona matchup than this week's Clemson-Arizona matchup.
I would have been a wreck all week. Good riddance.
That's true. That's true.
Good riddance, man.
Langston Love not being there was killer.
Do you think he'll ever? Do you think we got
a foot? It's a foot thing. Like, I think it's just. I honestly think it's a luck thing.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Is like, do you think we're ever going to get the full Langston Love experience? Because
I think we'll get another year to try.
If he's healthy.
I think. Yeah, I think we'll have another year to try for sure.
He's got that run through a motherfucker's face.
Over and over. Evan, do you want me to be critical of a couple of players, or should we just let the season rest?
Matt, spill the tea, brother. That's what 500 people are here for.
The beginning of the season.
Because we need to talk a little bit about Mr. Caleb Lohner and whatever the fuck he's doing down there.
Okay, that's where I was going. The beginning of the season was rough. Can I set the table real quick?
Yeah, with
like the progression of how he's actually played. The fan perception of Caleb Lohner all season, the general public fan population of Caleb Lohner has been
thumbs up,
way under his actual impact on the game. Like, way more negative than his actual impact on the game.
Sure.
Most games he comes in, he brings a boost of energy to the defense. He rebounds the hell out of the ball and he plays his role perfectly. He takes a couple bunnies when they're there. He's never out of control.
And that's fine.
He plays his role perfectly, right? And then, what was it? I don't know if it was the game against Colgate or if it was the last game against Iowa State.
He really started... Skyhook situation.
Well, he was making his bunnies. He was having more impact on offense, I guess is what I was trying to say. Like, you could tell
not
the confidence
a good
was
sign,
rising.
Listener.
I thought it was not a great because sign. Because when he showed up to Waco, you know, I would go watch tape of him in high school. I'm like, there is something there. Like, this guy is a bench contributor for sure on this team.
Sure.
It didn't play out that way. But then he starts to show signs against Colgate, which that might have been the warning sign. But I'm not even mad that he took shots against Colgate. He is a better basketball player than I ever will be. But it just felt like he was playing outside of his role.
Yeah, I think that's my same exact kind of thought is like I feel like he found a very good home in this offense for most of the year. And I thought, you know, he played. I thought it was a very good marriage of expectations and like production. It was weird to me that it scaled the way it did. Last weekend,
very rapidly.
Yeah, I guess that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. Now here, I'm going to turn this directly into my next point, which in non-conference play next season, I want Caleb Lohner to go figure it out. Like, take as many shots, like not as many shots, but like be as aggressive as you can be. Let's see if we can unlock something. I'm not out on Caleb Lohner.
I don't know.
I want him back. I want him to play.
My mind much at all.
Yeah. No, but they're like people that are really nasty about him, and I don't like it. So I wanted to turn this into a defense of Caleb Loner, but I was, I guess, confused is the right word.
I about think
the way he approached the game against Clemson.
I feel like the Clemson, I think I was mad. Not that he was shooting. I think I was mad while he was shooting because it was like, we got to do this. Nothing's going down anywhere, so we're doing this. So it wasn't really him. It was that we were on our fourth option on offense consistently, I guess. That's what it was
exactly.
all about.
Exactly. Now, on the other side of the scale, Jaden Nunn. I want Jaden Nunn to touch the ball every possession he's out there. I don't necessarily need him.
Is he going to be here?
He's a junior. I don't think he's going pro.
No. If he's at that number one spot next year, I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty darn good.
Jaden Nunn, Rob Wright. Right? Like those two.
Hey, congratulations.
So if you're watching the recording.
Does it work for me when I do that?
I don't know. I don't know what it did. But a bunch of balloons and congratulations popped up on my screen. Not sure. Is my Mac congratulating us for getting Jaden Nunn for another year, maybe?
Is your Mac camera looking at you? Because right now I'm using
it. It's just a webcam. It's just a webcam.
But it's not like native to your device on your computer? Because I feel like these cameras catch emotions, but I don't know about the webcam.
Catching emotions. I caught emotions. I was sad that Jaden Nunn played so tentative against Clemson. If you go back and watch the game, he passed up shots that he would absolutely take against a TCU, against a Colgate. Like, it looked like he was deferring to Ray J. He was deferring to Jacoby. And that's great if you also do the stuff that Jaden Nunn does.
Yeah. You gotta really have your nuts in March for what we're trying to do.
You have to go take it from the other team. That's all I want to talk about the men's game. I was frustrated, but it was a good season. I am so excited for the freshman group that comes in next season.
The best ever for us, right? The
best DJ Edgecombe. Yep.
Wow.
Others. So
yeah, that'll be fun.
Very, very fun.
We're going to talk about the girls in just 1 second, but before we leave the boys, I just want to point out that I think next season, our men's and women's teams are going to be like capital D dogs. I think the formula is there.
Entirely possible. The men will have to do it with a slightly different or a lack of a presence on the bench. John Jacobs, assistant head coach, I believe, actually, has been hired by Florida Atlantic University to
Breaking
be their
news.
Head coach today.
Breaking
literally, what, 30 minutes before we started
probably the second Baylor podcast to talk about it.
Probably. Just a very vital piece to that championship run in 21 has been one of the major forces helping to support Scott Drew and this program. I figured it was going to happen at some point, and with all of the coaching movement this offseason, I did have the thought a couple weeks ago where, you know, with Tang leaving and having success,
Jacobs is obviously the
next one up.
Sure.
And
does anyone feel any type of way about that? I feel like, I don't know.
We're all happy for him because Lake he deserves cool. a headshot.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of life to live, making a lot of money, you know? I'm sure he wants to try a few other places, like maybe
some, No. I don't begrudge him for this at all. I'm excited for him. I am also sad because I think he was very important to this team. And it's leading us closer and closer to people maybe potentially asking, you know, how much of that championship run was Drew, how much of it was the players, and I don't want to get in that conversation because it doesn't matter.
Banners hang forever, baby. Here's something I'm going to confess to you, Matt. I never played really organized basketball much at all, but I played a ton of soccer, mainly soccer growing up. Mm-hmm. And I never had one assistant coach who did shit, not once. So what do basketball assistant coaches do? I'm sure it's a lot. I'm sure it's actually a ton. But what's going on in there?
It totally depends on the way the coach runs his his room, right? Some teams will have a coach that specializes in offense. Some will be specialized in defense. Some will be individual player development or skill development, right? Some will be a big man coach. Some will be a guards coach. Some will.
That's why there's so many, huh? There are a lot of dudes.
Yeah, there are a lot, right? And then you have some that are focused on, you know, analytics and are we taking the shots that we should be taking? You know, just it really does depend on how a coach does that. It varies, from what I understand, greatly across the nation. So,
you know what?
I mean, this gets us to a point where, what's that?
Do you know what assistant soccer coaches do?
Stand there and wear Adidas.
Yeah, they stand there and they wear Adidas and they tell you to get off the bench when it's your turn. Mainly when it was my turn.
I never had an assistant coach in high school. It was just the head coach.
Oh, yeah.
We had the JV combo. Coach.
Unfortunately, my assistant coach, who was also the JV coach, has since passed away. Rest in peace to you. But yeah, he just drove the bus for us and like yelled at us. Our coach had a little run in with the law in his 20s and he couldn't drive the bus anymore. That's what the rumor was.
So. Ah, I see. Okay. Well, listen to this. This is the coach Scott Drew coaching tree, right? Mm-hmm. Most recently, John Jacobs. You have Jerome Tang, Grant McCasland, Paul Mills at Wichita State, mm-hmm. and Matt Driscoll. I mean, we are looking at one of the biggest, most successful coaching trees. And it's all happened within the last 7 years.
Yeah. I feel like people talk a lot about like coaching trees in football. Like there's a couple coaches who they are like, yeah, this guy's tree is huge, whatever. Are there any people like that in college basketball? Is there like a Coach K tree that people talk about fondly or anything like that?
Well, the Coach K tree usually ends up being former Duke players.
Yeah.
That's a great, I know I'm forgetting some. Let's see. Okay. Well, 3 months ago, there was a Substack written that is titled "College Basketball's Most Barren Coaching Tree," and it's about John Calipari. The Bob Knight coaching tree. That's the famous one. Yes, right? That is okay, Coach K. Yeah. That's Chris Beard.
Is he done?
That's Dave Bliss. That's Mike Woodson, done? Steve Alford. At night, like so I mean that's one of the big ones.
Bob and I had a bunch of assholes working for him.
A bunch of
he
assholes.
Was an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He threw that chair across that court once, right? What a baby. You know how much ridicule I would have given that man had I not been dead?
It's a lot. Do you have any final parting words for the 2023-2024 Baylor men's basketball season?
Yeah. I think I would like to say thank you first. And also that I hope Eves Missy decides to stay, because I feel like there's a pitch to be made. And if he comes back, Matt, it's going to get ugly.
For Missy, absolutely. Jacoby Walter, dude, just go to the NBA.
Go get paid.
Go get your money. We'd love to have you, but you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. Too good. Too good. Except for those free throws. Now look, say what you want.
This basketball season felt short.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that.
But we won like 25 games. We won a shit ton of games.
Massively successful season compared to other programs in the nation. But here at Baylor, we expect to win it all every year. That's just who we are. It's who we've always been.
We are now. It's who we've always been. That's why we end up sad all the time.
Exactly. You want to talk about a team that could win it all?
Yeah, still has a pretty real chance. Yes.
Pretty real chance.
Let's swing it over. We're giving too much
before
time.
Before we do that,
let's talk about some winners.
Before we do that, I do want to talk about a winner real quick, and that is Home Field Apparel. Homefieldapparel.com. Use code MOREBEARS for 15% off your first
order. I got some Home Field in today. Let me show you.
You got some Home Field in today. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
taking
doing
off
that.
To slander you.
I'm doing that thing where they Fake send you Nike. Stuff every week.
Oh, brother.
Look, they sent me an LSU women's basketball shirt. And I'm wearing it right now.
That's gross. Oh,
would you like to talk about our Lady Tigers? I've got a few things.
Please don't do this. Please don't do this. All right. You brought it up.
You
brought it
up. My eyes lit up when this came in my mail today.
Oh, my God.
I also have a really cool Omaha shirt.
I just.
Something stinks in Baton Rouge.
This is exactly why people don't trust Home Field Apparel in the media anymore. I will sue Home Field Apparel if they publish a false t-shirt about me. We'll get into that later, I think. I want to talk about our women's team first. Can we do that?
Sure.
Very, very exciting weekend of women's basketball. Truly, every game that I turned on was a banger. Yeah. Every single game.
I watched so much of both tournaments this weekend. It's pretty much all we did.
So the game against Virginia Tech. So Baylor goes to Blacksburg, Virginia to play in the Virginia Tech Regional on Virginia Tech's home floor. Sure. If you weren't aware, that's where
something that we've hosted many times. People know.
Virginia Tech missing their best player. They're big.
Stayed healthy.
Still a very, very good team.
Yeah.
And absolutely put up a fight. But this Baylor team had something they didn't, and that was a Jada Walker.
Yeah, golly, they really did. How crazy that her end of quarter three was the difference in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Truly awesome performance, especially considering she was not shooting the ball fantastically well from outside.
Like, yeah, I must have not been familiar with her game because I didn't know she was sitting on a 25-piece.
Yes, apparently she is. Well, she never had scored. Like, 24 was her career high up until this point. And she scored 26 of those 28 in the second half. 26 of those 28 in the second half.
Crazy. Look, we're hot at the right time.
Yeah,
we're hot at the right time, and we take a lot of threes. Give me that in March. Give me that every time. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I don't have a ton to say about that game other than, you know, Baylor took care of business against a team they probably should beat without their best player more times out of 10 than not. But every team you play in March is going to be good, especially the next team. Baylor takes on freshman phenom Juju Watkins and the University of Southern California Trojans.
This game is going to be so good. This game is going to be
I'm feeling what you probably said you were going to feel if Baylor had to play Arizona.
Yeah.
But this maybe with a real hoop. Dash of confidence more.
There's probably going to be 70 shots in this game. I don't know if that's high or low on the average, but there's going to be a shit ton of shots.
So I was looking into some of the stats. I accidentally stumbled into the gambling stats of both teams.
Don't know
how that happened. I don't know how that happened.
I'm sure.
But if you look at Baylor and USC as a team, both teams across the season have like forced the over in their respective contests more often than not.
Sure.
So like 70% of the time for Baylor and like 90% of the time for USC, the game hits the over. So Sweet 16 matchup against USC. Juju Watkins is the name you need to know from USC. She is a freshman. She is what people think other players in women's basketball are right now.
Yeah. My favorite podcast, the Jenkins and Jones podcast, they were talking about her a few weeks ago because a couple of the guys live in LA and they're talking about like people are planning like their weekends to go see her. That's like, that's what's been going on in LA this last year. Like she's as real a hooper to come through USC as I can't think of a more exciting USC basketball player off the top of my head.
Well, ever. It was supposed to be Bronny James. Now he faced some other things going on.
Sure. But and turns out that getting your coach fired gene is genetic. So it looks like
shut up. Andy and Jill did not get fired.
I'm just saying. He's not there anymore. One season.
I think this game is going to be very stupid in the sense of there's going to be a ton of points. I do think Baylor can score with USC. How do you think this game goes?
I feel like if we make more than like 9 three-pointers, I think we win. Cuz we're going to take a ton. Do you know enough about USC's roster to know if they have like a number 2 that also gets buckets?
Yep. Mackenzie Forbes. Mackenzie Forbes is also quite good. She shoots the ball very, very well, and they do have a significant height advantage in the post. It would not shock me if they tried to exploit that. But you've seen Baylor overcome teams with, we'll call it, good quality bigs that are much bigger.
Baylor, sure, but I've also seen us beat people by 70 specifically because our big is just that much better than theirs. And I feel like that happens more often than the reverse of it happens, especially on the, like, I feel like the,
I think a lot of it's matchup.
Have that post player.
I think a lot of it's matchup dependent, but I know what you're saying. Very, very excited about this. Producer D, when is this game?
Is it Friday? I feel like it's Friday.
No, well, I'm tuned in. It's Saturday.
I'm tuned late Saturday. In either way. We're going to be in there.
It's late Saturday.
We've got a real chance, man. I feel like, I don't think this team has it to go all the way, but I feel like an Elite Eight appearance is all I personally would have asked for.
If you can get to the point, this is for any team. If you can get to a point where you play South Carolina, massive success of a season. You don't have to go you don't have to think about anything else, but if
you don't
got
to talk about nothing else,
play South Carolina.
You can get TCU.
Big thumbs up.
For all I care.
Big thumbs up to that. The other games over the weekend, my favorite was Stanford Iowa State. That was late Sunday night.
And we watched the whole thing, awesome. And Madison was not happy. We had been watching, she probably watched 40 basketball games with me this weekend. And
why was she unhappy?
She was so tired because we were on hour 73 of watching basketball. She wanted to go to bed.
She wanted to go to bed. She did not want to continue watching. Okay, I thought she was mad about what happened in the bracket.
No, she has a bracket that she's following very closely, and she was very invested in the outcome.
Ah, I see. Great game. Stanford, of course, advances, but Iowa State, look, I'm not going to say anything nice about Iowa State. That's a rule here on the podcast.
I won't either, but...
But they had one instance of playing good basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. They were good.
Anything else on the women's tournament? Who would we get? Here I am looking past.
I think we get we get UConn, I believe, would be our next.
That's right. It would be UConn. Duke.
And I feel like USC is, I mean, not a hot take, but definitely better than both of those teams. Definitely better than UCLA and LSU. So in a world where we win a couple of these, this is the hardest one. That's how I personally feel. And it's the closest.
I would disagree with you on that. UConn's pretty damn good. Oh, Baylor has only been an underdog by 4.5 or more points once this season, and we won that game.
Well, it's only 3.5 by my readings. So, listeners, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. We got some real hoops coming to us. Nikki's got her girls right.
Real hoops.
Are there any people, are there any still Nikki dissenters out there?
I haven't seen many.
I haven't
seen many. I think this team has gone a long way in converting the non-believers. That sounded a little bit more dramatic than I intended.
Say what you want about the prior regime, but wasn't a lot of coaching going on the sidelines.
Well, there are people that have things to say about the prior regime. Particularly a Washington Post reporter, apparently.
here's really what's going on with me right now. I don't know if there's any one thing that's going to be like surprising, but I think there's going to be a startling amount of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not so sure there's going to be any new data entered into the log, but it's probably going to get a lot of reps on what we're probably thinking is going on.
The only funny part about this is Kim Mulkey threatening to sue maybe the most litigious newspaper in America.
Famously not lawyered up Washington Post.
Blows my mind.
And what is Matt Gaetz going to do for her anyway?
I didn't do anything wrong to my basketball player shirt is generating more questions than I expected.
I I think that the number of people who are going to engage with that article grew like exponentially. You know, her team just won a tournament game, and she did her best. She kind of WWE promo on the libs,
and they came out flat as hell against Mississippi.
Yeah, they almost lost.
Or they Tennessee lost first game. Martin Rice or whatever they were.
Rice gave them.
No, after the Rice, game. The Mountain Tennis, Middle Tennessee, Mountain Tennessee, whatever, Blue Tennessee. Wow.
And you know what? The real shame here, and this is really how I feel, is we're talking about this instead of like an incredibly fun and dope ass LSU team. You know,
they're like,
stinks. It really stinks because it shouldn't be this way. But look, if it's
do you want me to
go ahead and talk about it?
Do you want me to give a one line clickbait opinion that's not actually that serious, but people could potentially take it serious and generate a lot of traffic? Does LSU have a problem with Angel Reese and cherry picking?
Yeah, maybe stat padding. Stat padding.
Yeah, stat padding. Like stat padding. Yes, we'll call it stat padding.
Getting his own rebound four times on one possession. Big Chris Foster energy.
Perfect.
That's what I'm thinking.
Is Angel Reese and LSU hurting the game of basketball by stat padding?
Is she an offensive rebound merchant?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's perfect.
But no, it really does stink that the spotlight is squarely on Kim. Shocker, Matt, but the spotlight is squarely on Kim. A self-inflicted wound, I might add, instead of the reigning champions whooping ass heading into the Sweet 16. I mean,
yep.
I don't know, man. People can play for whomever they think is going to place them in the league, but I don't have anything else to say, I guess. That's all I got.
I'd probably want to play for the lady that coached in the league.
Yeah. Man. And who's a little nice. And maybe if I want to live my life and I want to love whomsoever I want to love, maybe I could do that.
Maybe so.
That'd be
cool. Ev, we have one last thing you want to watch. Let's jump in here to this.
Whoa.
Do you like fudge? Let's jump into this. There was a tweet that came out from Baylor. Was this Baylor football?
Yeah.
Brick by brick. It says Jake Spavital and Coach Pallage take us behind the scenes of the new Fudge Football Development Center. I haven't seen this. You haven't seen this. I thought we'd just take a look at it together. Yeah.
What's up, Baylor fans? This is Jake Spavital. I'm your new offense.
Hold up. I just want to pause this real quick.
He feels
shorter to me. Maybe it's the camera angle.
Short Kings always got the playbook. So I'm trying
to. No, it's a plus. It's a plus in my book.
Coordinator. Yeah. And today we're going to give you guys a tour of the new Fudge Football Development Center.
He sounds like he could coach his football.
Yeah, football. Wow.
Now we're in the new football lobby right here at the Fudge Football Development Center. Right? We're going to transition into the new extension to our indoor facility. So come on and check it out.
This building was only like a decade old.
I'm not going
to lie. So right now we're in the new extended indoor facility.
It is.
The previous indoor facility had about 80 yards, and they added about 20 more yards plus an end zone, and they also laid down some brand new turf for this.
Why build it at 80 yards in the first place?
Yeah. That's some Ian McCall shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming up a little short, Ian.
Right now we're at the elevated walkway. Where it's pretty cool, like it can overlook our outdoor practice facility. But you got two grass fields with a lot of space for us to work. Very well manicured, but also to overlook.
What?
It was late and I was driving around. The antenna fence is up. Yeah, I did it twice. I did it twice, and we won a Big 12 title both years that I did it. So,
well, shit, I know what we got to do. Like, maybe after spring ball, maybe before the season.
Look for the updated indoor facility to the right, how the new turf and just the new addition, and to be able to have an indoor facility and a lot of space for the outdoor facility.
Dope. Makes it you should have been kicking.
Perform at a high level.
Yeah. Now we're 4 years earlier, and I would have been the best ever.
Oh, look, a study room. Dude, Baylor loves their study rooms. I'll tell you that much. They got pools in here.
Right now, we're inside our brand new locker room, or what will be our brand new locker room.
Oh, they're doing a brand new locker room. Oh, well, I guess I have to gather as a fan. It's not the locker room. It's not the game day locker room.
Yeah, it looks like shit.
Hey, thanks, Baylor Nation, for following us around the tour of the Fudge Football Development Center today. Stay tuned for more updates. Can't wait to see y'all in McLean.
Matt, those are some Texan-ass football coaches.
You know what I've been thinking about recently? I feel like I spend so much time having to defend that we're a serious program to people on the internet that I forget that like we're a very well-established, well-funded operation. We got some nice shit.
Yeah, it's true. Facilities are good. I saw like Sooner fans today admitting that Baylor was the biggest athletics force in the Big 12 over the last
my
decade.
Whole bit when I started
Cyclone
making
Larry said it today
talking
too.
About that. Yeah. Listener, I need you to hear me. No one has more basketball titles than us since the year 2000. No Power 5 school, at least. UConn's a Power 6 school, so we got the Power 5 title. we're the only Big 12 team besides Oklahoma to win back-to-back Big 12 titles. I mean, it's a big deal, Matt.
It's a big deal.
We've owned women's basketball. Oh, I mean, it's belonged to us for two decades.
I think UConn probably has something to say about that, but I understand the point.
Yeah. But UConn doesn't get the best recruiting class ever and win four titles in a row if Kim didn't have Geno shaking in his boots. People forget because UConn had such a dominant run that whenever they did play Baylor, they lost for the most part. We ended like a 100-game winning streak and like a 99-game winning streak. Beat him in the Final Four. Should have beat him in Kim's last game. People forget. That call was so bad that LeBron
was a bad one.
LeBron
yeah, I
don't
James end the
was
show
tweeting
like that,
about
though.
It. I'm just saying.
There's no
Geno. Geno doesn't do all this if Baylor doesn't have a fire under his ass for.
Well, that's that. So we propelled UConn to greatness, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you're welcome, Geno. You're welcome.
Have you got anything else going on?
I just got back from Madison, Wisconsin today, and dude, that place rules. You really got to go. I know it's really far from you, and it doesn't seem like you would like it, but I'm telling you, you would love it. You would love it. Listener, if you've been,
I believe it.
Sound off in the chat. Have you been to Madison, Wisconsin before?
Is that our question we want people to answer?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes or no? Have you been to Madison?
what else I got going on? I got invited to my buddy Tate's parents' house for Easter. We're gonna have some food and hang out on
shout
Sunday.
Out Tate.
Excited about that. Shout out to Tate. And baseball season is here. Our Mets play their first game tomorrow, and so do my new Cubs.
I'd check on that. I saw a lot of the MLB games were being delayed.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Baylor baseball. I saw that you took a game from Texas.
You did, and I was happy
good.
To see it.
We're proud of However, you. Keep working hard. Keep working hard. I don't really have too much else to say.
Besides TikTok, Mr. Coach.
It is a program that is finding itself again.
Better than Iowa State, I'll tell you that much.
Better than Iowa State. You do almost sweep Texas Tech, number 23 in the nation.
So we took 2 out of 3. We need to talk about the softball team, Matt. They're
killing it as usual.
I feel like this is my fault at this point, but for the last maybe like 4 years, every time I see an updated softball poll, I'm like, huh, we're really high.
Oh yeah. We're the Oklahoma killers. We're the Oklahoma killers too. Like
that.
Every streak that they have, we end.
Yeah. If you got a major women's sports streak, do not come to Waco.
You don't want to do that. No.
Don't want to come to Waco.
Nope.
What All else, right. Matt? What else do I got? Nothing. What do you got? What's going on your side? Any update with the Redbirds?
Well, I don't have a job. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. Playing a little golf.
Doing
taking
some
walks.
Golf and we are going to be playing some video games together soon. Perhaps even as soon as tonight.
Oh, perhaps. That sounds good. Spread some liberty on Helldivers 2.
Spread some liberty. Matt, today I was playing Call of Duty. And I got 11 kills. 11. And 3 of those were the final 3 in the game. Just want to point that out.
More bears. I think I can make that happen.
Bears, please stop!
Please refrain from shooting lasers onto the field.
A little bit cheeky with it. shot both my breaths.